Welcome to HR Voices. A podcast for independent HR and people professionals and the businesses they support. HR Voices is brought to you by the expert team at HR Independence Limited. We hope you enjoy.
Hello, welcome to this episode of HR Voices podcast. I am Mary Asante, and with me here with my co-host Charlotte Overy.
Hi.
Hi. Today we have the pleasure of being joined by Anive Hutchison, and I will let Anive introduce herself in a minute. But Anive is from the Corporate Escape Club. They run a marketing agency. So I will let her talk about herself and then introduce herself properly in a minute. So welcome, Anive.
Morning, Mary. Thank you so much for having me here this morning. Morning, Charlotte, as well. Morning. Very happy to be here. Yeah, I'm Anive Hutchinson. I am co-founder of the Corporate Escape Club, where we help corporate escapees to create and grow consultancies that they absolutely love. And I've also been running my own marketing consultancy with my co-founder, Emma Tarring, for the last 12 years. So we've been running our own B2B consultancy for all that time together. And now we're helping other people to do the same.
Excellent. I think that is very important to know that I think both you and Emma started off separately as marketing consultants and then you met and formed. Can you tell us a bit about it? Because yeah. I think it's quite important because we've just concluded the starting or going on your consultancy journey series in the last few set of episodes that we did. And we did speak to a wide range of consultants and each of them go on a very different journey. I think some start and then they go solo pretty much till however long they run it for. And others do something very similar to what you and Emma have done, which is, okay, we've got synergies, but we also got our own sort of strengths. So we are going to come together from this wonderful organizations and then sort of the rest will be history, whilst others go down the employing people and others route. So yeah, can you tell us a bit about how that came about and what, because I think it's very relevant to the conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, and it is really relevant. I think, we love it. It's a great story that we've got since how we met. So we'd both been running our own independent businesses, me since my youngest son was about one. And so I'd been out on my own for about 6 years and Emma had been around about the same, if not a bit longer. And we both joined a networking group, a ladies' networking group. And Emma hadn't been able to make it for a couple of weeks when I first joined. And everyone in the group kept saying, oh, you've got to meet Emma. She's amazing. She's just fantastic. And I was like, oh, my goodness, another marketing consultant who's brilliant. Oh, my goodness. But actually, in the end, when she joined, we decided just to have a coffee together and just to get to know each other and understand where we were each coming from. Rather than thinking of each other as competitors, we thought, no, let's get together and have a chat. And it's the old story over Emma's kitchen table. We realized we had really complementary skills, quite different within that marketing space, but that together we had a couple of leads that we perhaps wouldn't have been able to follow up on our own or win on our own, but that as a duo, we had a greater chance of winning. And so we did that. We very quickly created a brand under which we both operated independently. So we didn't immediately go into business together. We operated under an umbrella brand.
Right.
And we went for those two leads that we thought we had and we won them. And, you know, still working with them 10, 11 years later. It took about a couple of years before we decided, right, okay, we know each other well enough now. We've seen each other under pressure. We know how we both operate. And we've got a really lovely clutch of clients now. It makes sense to set up as a limited company together. But we'd really had that long experience of working together before we made that big commitment.
Excellent. I mean, that sounds amazing. And congratulations that the partnership is still going strong all these years. And now you've got the Corporate Escape Club. What is that all about?
That is something that was born out of COVID when Emma and I have always networked. I mean, we met networking and it's how we've won a lot of business over the years. But during that time, it all went a bit wrong, didn't it? It all went a bit strange. And it just wasn't as enjoyable as it had been before a lot of the time. And each to their own with networking ways and means. It had become a little bit of a 60-second pitch fest, you know, sitting looking at Zoom for hours on end. We thought with all our experience of networking, we had an idea about how we could do it. Still on Zoom, because we were still in those days, but where we could encourage people to have one-to-one conversations rather than just kind of in the middle of a pitch fest. And so we started our club where we share a little marketing nugget. We then invite everybody to have a brief introduction to each other and to themselves. And then we put everybody together. We introduce people for a one-to-one conversation of around 12 to 15 minutes, where we can actually have a proper chat and get to know somebody, you know, properly so we can start developing and nurturing those relationships. And from there, we've built that into an amazing community of corporate escapees and corporate escapees to be, who can come together in our little portal, get lots of marketing support and lots of backup from people who are, you know, on a similar journey out in the world, creating their own consultancies and growing them.
Great stuff. Excellent. And that feeds nicely into our topic for this episode, which is building resilience into your consultancy journey. And for this specific episode, we are looking at it through the lens of marketing. So, Anive, what does marketing mean in terms of when you're running your own consultancy, and how can you build resilience into your consultancy through marketing? I know it's loaded and I'm not expecting you to, but I just wanted to really give our listeners, those watching us, an idea of what we'll be talking about, because I think it's really important running your consultancy. The expression I like using is you've built this beautiful, like, business. You've lit the fire or the light, and you are hiding it under the bed if you are not marketing yourself or putting yourself out there. I could be wrong, and you could correct me, but I think that's the easiest expression when you're not marketing yourself properly, because people don't know what they don't know, right? And people won't find you if they don't know where to find you, how to find you, and the rest of it. So, yes, what is marketing? If I'm starting off building my consultancy, or I've been running it for a bit and I hear marketing all the time, what does it really mean?
Yeah, and I love the way you put that. We often describe it as being a really well-kept secret. And it tends to be an issue for people who are technically brilliant at what they do. They have all the skills, experience, expertise to solve problems, but self-promotion doesn't come as naturally to them. In which case, as you say, your light might be hidden and you're not shining as brightly as you could. And of course, you've already, I believe, covered already in the past, haven't you? Resilient mindset biz being so important in running a business, of course. But on top of that, you do need to build into your business a way of making sure that you're not just working from one contract to the next without anything coming up behind you to take over when contracts end, or when that natural situation comes about where you kind of lift your head up above the parapet and go, oh, I haven't got any leads in my bucket. So, really strong pipeline is what we want. That's what gives us confidence and that feeling of having a robust business. And really, the best and only way to develop that is through marketing. And when it comes to B2B consultancies, which of course HR consultancies are, that's all developed through relationships. Because what we know for certain is that HR services are certainly not picked up off the shelf and bought immediately. There's a lot of trust required in order to invite somebody into your business and to deal with the sensitive topics and you need to deal with in HR. And so you're going to be far more likely to get in touch with somebody that you know something about and have some confidence can do what they say they can do, and then somebody that you've just come across 5 minutes ago. And so I think one of the most tricky parts of marketing a consultancy is that understanding that the work that you do now, you're going to feel the benefit of in a few months' time. You're generally, we say 3 to 4 months after you really start an organized and consistent way of marketing is when you're going to start feeling the benefit of that. And in the meantime, there's going to be a bit of a gap. And that's why this kind of feast and famine roller coaster ride of a business can come about, because we get really busy, we take our foot off the marketing pedal, and then realize things have gone a little bit quiet. And that's why that boring but essential word is so important in marketing, any kind of business, and that's consistency.
It is, but it is something that a lot of consultants that we speak to do struggle with, and that is you do get caught in the day-to-day. You do get caught in serving the clients that, you know, you're desperate to serve your clients, you want to do a really good job, and you do take your foot off that pedal a little bit, and you get a little bit caught down in the weeds. And of course, it is the ability to have that longer term view and that take that approach of consistency. I also think that perhaps the marketing is something that may be put in that box under the bed because it's not their most favorite thing to do, because, you know, it's putting yourself out there and, you know, trying to explain who you are, what you do, and why you're the best out there in the marketplace.
Exactly. It really is, I think, for our kind of consultancies, one of the hardest things to do, because it's just not what we were built to be. Influencers on TikTok is not necessarily something any of us aspire to be. And the good news is that for a B2B consultant, that's just not necessary. At the end of the day, we don't need that many clients to have a thriving business. Mm-hmm. If we can develop the kind of relationships that we work with a client on a longer term basis, then that's what we need to work on. And potentially 5, 6, maybe up to 10 clients, depending on the size of business we're working with, might well be enough to keep us going. And so that's where platforms like LinkedIn are, of course, more appropriate, suitable, and probably a more comfortable place for us to hang out and spend time. And one of the ways into, one of the hacks around helping ourselves be more, shall we say, in the spotlight on LinkedIn is by being there in an educational capacity. So rather than it being about self-promotion and all about how amazing we are, maybe some of that needs to come in every now and again, but if we actually focus it around how we can help and educate our clients in doing what they're doing better, then the chances are we won't feel quite so self-conscious, and actually we'll be doing some great work, drawing some attention to, you know, important issues that every managing director of a business needs to be aware of, for example.
Yeah, I think that is a really sort of great and interesting point, because you go on LinkedIn, even TikTok is a challenge on its own for many, but you go on LinkedIn even, and more, I think all the platforms gradually kind of merge into one, isn't there? Because you're beginning to see more and more people on video talking about themselves, doing all sorts of silly things and sometimes some amazing things and whatever. Which I think for most HR people consultants, it may seem intimidating because they're not just, ooh, I want to be in front of the camera type, let alone be in front of the camera, let my guard down type of thing. So yeah, it's really sort of interesting. And yeah, it's a challenge because I think you go on LinkedIn, you see all these in your feeds, and you go, my goodness, do I have to do this? Or am I going to have to do this to be able to stay competitive?
Yeah. And let's be real, it is intimidating. There are a lot of amazing people on LinkedIn, probably fewer than we think. I think it's only about 1% of members of LinkedIn are actually active creators on LinkedIn, something very small percentage. But certainly when you look at your feed, you could be forgiven for thinking, how on earth can I compete? Your network is probably quite HR heavy in terms of the number of people you're connected with. So you're even more likely to see a lot of HR related content where perhaps others aren't. And it might be easy to imagine that that's all there is on LinkedIn, because your feed and the algorithm is giving you information that you're interested in. So then you can kind of go down a bit of a rabbit warren of thinking, what is there for me to talk about in this world? And it's a tough one. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that putting yourself out there or even on a platform like LinkedIn is easy. Certainly for some personality profiles, it is perhaps easier. But if you're more of an introvert type or just less interested in social media, then it does become tricky. But the reality of running your own business is that sales and marketing are a massive proportion of the work that we need to do. And we can either team up with other people and then divvy that work out between us and make sure that the people who are more comfortable doing that have the responsibility for us for it. But if we're solo consultants, it all rests on our shoulders. And so the job of building your pipeline falls entirely to you. And it's important to find a route that suits you best. Because if being on LinkedIn or on video is your least favorite thing, you're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so we have to find another way. And that's where often networking is overlooked, and particularly networking in the right rooms. So the Corporate Escape Club is all about B2B consultants, coaches and experts. And there are numerous networking organizations in the world, all catering to a certain different kind of person. And it might well be that you would be better served networking in actual rooms, Zoom rooms of people who you could help than perhaps taking a position on LinkedIn. We talk about marketing being a matrix because everything feeds in and it's everything's linked and it, you know, integral to one another. But I think a first step is just finding that place where you'll be most likely to be comfortable and then build from there.
That's great advice, isn't it? And I think that's quite fascinating, actually, because I've never really thought about what you said about LinkedIn and your own feed. Because if you think about what Mary and I do and all of our members, and we, you know, we help our members do amazing stuff, and then we see them do the amazing stuff that perhaps we've given them some training on or that we've helped them with or that we've talked to them about. But of course, then what that can do is give you a little bit of, oh, my goodness, look at them doing all this amazing stuff. I'm not doing that. You know, and there's a fear of missing out, and there's also perhaps a little bit of imposter syndrome that creeps in. And my feed is very HR heavy. Yeah. And so my assumption is that's my feed and that's what everybody sees. But of course, it's not. So that's given me a reminder. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, it will be a really skewed view. Now, for you, it's great because HR consultants are your people, right? That's absolutely who you want in your feed. And that's perfect. Yeah. And you get a feel for what people are talking about. And that helps you in helping other consultants. But when you're an HR consultant, other HR consultants are probably not, you know, the people that you necessarily want or need to see in your feed. And so it becomes really important to carefully curate who you connect with and make sure that they do match with your idea of an ideal client, and that you try not to engage too much on content that you perhaps don't want to see in your feed. So for a while, I had a lot of drama going on in my feed. There were all sorts of, you know, arguments breaking out here, there and everywhere. It all became quite an emotional place to be, and I couldn't quite work out what was going on. And then I realized, I'm engaging with those posts. I'm reading them. I might be reacting to them. And so the algorithm is saying, oh, so you want to see more of this stuff, do you? Brilliant. Well, no, actually, I don't. So I made a concerted effort to skim past posts that I had a feeling might come with a feeling that I didn't particularly want in my world. And my algorithm has adapted accordingly. And now I see far more relevant things. And so that would be a good way to think about your own feed and like, who do you want to be connecting with? So for example, if you've got a specialism of HR in manufacturing, then be following and connecting with businesses in that sector so you see far more of that content.
Yeah, and that is really sort of a great point, and thank you for that. I think what I would like us to explore is building resilience into your consultancy business. So explore more about that. And you touched on the fact that marketing is a matrix. And I do agree that it is, and everything links together. So what are some of the routes or ways that people can explore or implement within their businesses in order to build resilience into it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our marketing consultancy is called the marketing matrix for a reason. You know, if you have a bit of a scattergun, disconnected approach to marketing, then it's not particularly helpful. Whereas if you can link everything together, then it builds and you get that compound interest from the work that you do. So really the starting point, and particularly when you're beginning out as a consultant, then one of the most effective and powerful things you can do is to specialize. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with because, again, back to your point of FOMO, what about all the other potential businesses that I could be connecting with? And this is one of the big struggles that we have when I'm marketing, coaching people, like, but I don't want to restrict myself for all sorts of reasons. But if you do, and if you can kind of come from a position of expertise that you perhaps built up in your corporate career, then that specialist knowledge and expertise is going to sing out to an ideal client who is struggling with a very specific HR issue that you can particularly help them with. They won't be as drawn to somebody who's got a more generalist approach. They will be listening out for, consciously or subconsciously, for the language, the words that you might use that are relevant to their particular situation. And so you can start building resilience by becoming known as a specialist in either a particular kind of HR support or a particular sector or a particular kind of business, family business perhaps, versus a large corporate, and start honing in your messaging and your language around the kind of issues that particular kind of ideal client is most likely to be experiencing. That will help you cut through the noise of all the other competitors that are out there and help your ideal client know to listen out for your great advice. Beyond that, it's then building relationships with those kinds of business owners and the people who influence them. And I still believe that is best served by in-person networking in the right kind of places. And if your target client, for example, is the managing director of a manufacturing business, then now you know where you could potentially be hanging out and spending time where you might not otherwise be. So you might go to manufacturing shows, for example. You might go to expos and conferences that relate to the manufacturing world, as opposed to a local networking group where you've got a huge range of different kinds of business sectors. Because you just want to get yourself in a place where you're either likely to meet your ideal client themselves or somebody who can influence them or who knows them really well. And so relationships shore up a great part of the foundation of your business. Mm-hmm. And choosing that specialist area is what can start building on that and start getting you being referred to other people, because somebody says, oh, I know exactly who you need to speak to. And they're an actual expert in the problem that you've got right now.
Excellent. That sounds amazing. I like the very good tips for anyone listening. And I do sort of agree with both points, actually. Relationship is a massive thing, because people would work with people that they know and trust and have confidence in, as you said at the beginning of this conversation. And also, people would refer people in the same light when they have that trust and confidence in you. So that is quite important. And actually, in the specialization aspects of it as well, in terms of, yes, being able to speak to your ideal client. But I think I'd like to highlight here that in HR, for most HR specialists, or HR professionals, we use the term HR generalist. Mm. And I don't think being a generalist doesn't mean you haven't specialized, because actually it's an area that is recognized, and some organizations or some businesses would want exactly that. Somebody who come and can solve their issues or help them resolve their issues across board. So saying that you are a generalist is also an area of specialization, the same way as someone can say they're employee relations specialist and the rest of it. So I just wanted to clarify that in case someone is listening and go, ooh, I'm a generalist.
I totally, that is, you know, a role that is important in HR. The only slight angle I would put on that is it depends on your ideal client as to how well they'll understand that. Mm. So some business owners will completely get and understand that term and know exactly what it means. If you're more likely to be targeting perhaps a smaller type business or an SME, there might be less awareness of what that means. And so words surrounding that term, explaining it and speaking still to that specialist area might be helpful, because it's easy to assume, is that we can all assume, and I do as well in marketing, that people understand our terminology. But we must remember that not everybody does. And in fact, if they've never worked with an HR consultant before and they need to, or they should be, that speaking their language is really important as well. But I 100% take your point. There is a very specific role around generalist in HR. I get that, yeah.
Great. And you are very right. Using technical language, technical jargon, etc. is very easy. I mean, I work predominantly with technology clients. And then you sit in some meetings with engineers and the rest of it. And then the terminology, the technical language, etc. just flows, and it's very easy to just assume, Actually, everyone around this table understands what I'm talking about when sometimes they don't. So thank you for that, Nave. It's very important that when you are speaking, you may be speaking to your ideal client. They may be very interested in what you are saying, but if they can't understand what you're saying or they need an expert dictionary to understand what you are saying, they will lose interest. You lose them before for the all the wrong reasons. So thank you. I think that's very important.
Yeah,
I
and
think
we all make this mistake. I think one of the best ways to look at it is that we have to be in the ocean where our clients are. So if you are targeting a large corporate, then of course you're going to speak that language and that's all going to work for you. If you're looking for clients at the moment who don't have any kind of HR cover, which means they are a potential ideal client because there's nobody in there at the moment, and so therefore they're a good prospect for you, then what's their understanding of the world of HR? What terminology would they use to describe who they need? And they're probably thinking about things in a very kind of modular way, like they just need this one thing. They don't need that full service yet. And so perhaps speaking more to the issue that they're struggling with might be more powerful.
absolutely.
Mary, you'll remember this from our independent forum days when we used to have the meetings that we used to attend. I still find it very fascinating that even in the realm of generalists as well, but you can go around a room of independent HR people professionals, and I get astounded at how different everybody does things or the things that interest them. So actually, I think most of us do have a specialism tucked in there, even if we don't think we have. Because actually, I think you tend to, it's advice we give. We do what we love, what we do. So, actually, it's about doing the things that really float your boat. Because if you want to be independent and have an independent business and you want to do the business your way, then actually, you're going to do it better if you do the things you love doing the most.
Absolutely. And the way I always think about it is like it's a tip of the iceberg thing, your specialism. It's, as you quite rightly say, Charlotte, it's something you love doing. It's something you find easy to do. You could kind of get lost in it. You're in your flow when you do it. And most importantly of all, your clients want it. They're aware of a problem, they need to solve it. And so they're looking around for somebody who can absolutely deal with that one thing. And they probably believe that once that's done, everything else is resolved. And once you've done that piece of work and you've solved that problem, then you have the permission and the trust to talk about the other aspects of what you do in a more general capacity that could help them kind of get to the bottom of problems and to resolve maybe some systemic issues that they're maybe not even aware of and wouldn't even think about in their normal day-to-day work. It's only when they've got a professional, an expert that comes in and throws light on some of these issues that they even can say, oh, yeah, we didn't even know we had a problem there. No wonder the staff churn is so high. This is the issue. So you might go in on something like a handbook or some kind of issue or problem that needs resolving. And then after that, you get the ability and the permission to start dealing with those deeper issues. But it's your specialism that kind of gets your awareness out there sooner than everything else will.
Yeah, and I mean, it's
Excellent.
often a stress purchase as well, isn't it, Mary? And we've talked about this a lot. It can be something really horrible, like a grievance or a disciplinary or a whistleblowing or something like that. And that can be where you've had that first interaction. And that's very much where the know, like, and trust comes in, because a referral will get you in the door because somebody will say, I know someone that can do that and can help you with that. And that's so you can end up being in something that's quite emotionally based and led. But actually, then what you can do is actually sit back and say, do you know what? You got to this place because your policies weren't in the right place, or you got to this place because your line manager didn't have the right conversations with this person, or you got to this place for, whatever reason. So yes, you can then drill down. And as you say, then there becomes knowledge around what else you can help them with and how you can perhaps help them not get there again, because they are still very much living and breathing that emotion that's come from that process.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important skill to develop as a business owner, is that ability to not just do what you're asked to do, but to advise and consult on bigger and deeper issues because you've seen them and highlighted them and to give the organization the benefit of your insight, even if they choose not to do anything about it. Because you as an expert will see it so clearly from the outside. And that's the beauty of bringing in an external consultants into your world as a business because you've got then the benefit of that outside view. And so there's always room, I believe, after doing that initial piece of work that you're asked to do to then sit down with that group of people and say, these are the other issues that I've seen. Are you open to approaching those so that we can make this company even more robust than it is right now?
And of course, that develops your pipeline a bit further.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. But you're doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it, aren't you, to help a company grow and get some insight into issues that they perhaps just don't have any expertise, knowledge around. If their area of expertise is in technical, then perhaps their people skills aren't where they personally specialise. And that's where an HR consultant can come in and absolutely change the game for them in terms of the types of people they can recruit and keep.
Absolutely. And the next bit that I want us to explore is around sort of marketing activities. So someone is listening to this and it's timely for them and they're all sort of excited about, okay, now I really am ready to do this. What sort of marketing activity can they do? What are the benefits of doing it yourself? So a DIY approach to marketing as opposed to engaging a specialist like yourself or others to say, help me with my marketing, please. And given us most HR consultants are small, is it better, and they are the best representative of their brand, is it better for them to run things themselves, be the face of it and be there because they're the people that people are, the customers are potentially buying into as opposed to outsourcing it to somebody. Again, I know it's loaded. I'm not expecting you to answer all of it at once, but I just wanted to give a deeper introduction into where I'm going when I say let's explore what the marketing activities are, the what, the how, and why almost.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. And again, it depends on whether you're a solo consultant or if you've collaborated or a bigger organization, of course, but we're talking about HR independence here, of course. So we'll start there. And my advice is always the best way to start marketing is always networking. Ideally in person, ideally thinking about the right rooms to spend time in, not necessarily general networking. Thinking, there's a lot of strategic work that needs to go before your marketing tactics kick in, of course. That is having a plan for your business, understanding who your ideal client might be, what your specialism is going to be around, all that work and what services you're going to offer needs to be done first of all. But once you've nailed all that down, in-person networking is a really great way to start. You can start speaking to people, listening to the challenges that they're experiencing, start using their language, understanding where they are in the picture and developing those personal relationships. It's some of the most cost-effective, time-effective marketing that you can do, full stop. But if you wanted to build more of a resilient way of going about your marketing and not simply be reliant on being somewhere in person, then marketing is all about words, whether they're spoken or written. Somebody at some point has to write something down. And ideally, that's you because you're the expert. So writing a blog, creating a lead magnet that speaks to your ideal client. A lead magnet is a document or a video that gives your ideal client exactly what they're looking for quickly, easily, in exchange for an email address. Is a great way to start. Because if you can start writing content, you've got all that you need in order to do all your other kinds of marketing. And whether you do that yourself or you work with a VA or somebody who helps you actually get it out in the world, you know, it really does start with you. And so beginning to write blogs is a really good way to begin. After that, next comes LinkedIn, you know, particularly for the world that your members are in, LinkedIn is the place to be. And it tends to be most likely where their ideal clients spend time. And so now you've started writing some content, it's going to start informing the kinds of posts that you could be writing and posting on LinkedIn. But we always have to remember on LinkedIn, yes, creation is important, but connections and comments are as important, if not more important. So we always want to be developing our professional network with the right kinds of people and, you know, overtly connecting with people that we think we can help and engaging with their content and their posts is a really key way to become known by that ideal client. But on top of that, of course, sits you sharing your own thoughts, experience, knowledge, and stories on LinkedIn in a way that your ideal client is going to be able to hear and appreciate. And then once all of that is working really well, building a list. Building an email list is critical in terms of resilience, because then you can be in people's inboxes, even if you can't be meeting them in person. And for an HR consultancy, I think it's a fantastic way to market yourself, because there are always regulatory changes and policy changes that your clients, as well as your prospects, need to know about. And so long as you've got their email addresses in a good way, and you can then communicate with them weekly or monthly, whichever kind of flow suits you best and your clients best, in a way that will keep you top of mind. And so that when that issue does arise, who's the person they're going to be able to call? It's the person that just sent them an email this week about an issue very much related to the problem that prospect is dealing with. And by building that list, that asset within your business, then you can really start getting a pipeline built up and building up that know, like, and trust that's so important.
Excellent.
Sounds like a great action plan, doesn't it? I think we need to get started on that, Mary.
Easy to say, but even just getting each piece in as you go, you know, think about that lead magnet. What is it that you could offer somebody that would be really valuable? A cheat sheet, a crib sheet, a quick guide to doing something legally and in a way that's entirely compliant with all the laws and regulations that affect a particular sector, for example. And that, again, comes back to why it's so important to understand your ideal client. And it's so easy, isn't it, to say, well, any small business owner of people with 20 to 50 employees, but it's still really broad, isn't it, that description. And so digging deep into, right, okay, what are the issues they're struggling with? What are the regulatory issues they're dealing with? What's their office environment like? Starts bringing them to life and you start being able to find them far more easily.
Excellent. Right. Thank you very much, Aneve. It's been really interesting and very informative. And Charlotte, did you have anything else to cover before?
No, I'm just writing notes as we go. I'm getting ready to go off and write my marketing plan.
Excellent. And Aneve, we typically would go, can you give us your top tips? But I think you've probably covered them in last sets of things that you've run through, and I'll just summarize what I think you've covered as your top tips, but you can give your top tips because it's best coming from you. But you've talked about the power of networking, you've talked about the power of effectively building relationships and putting it at the core of your business and making sure that you've built that trust, confidence with your relationships, and so that they can be thinking about you. And also, when you are talking to people, when you are marketing yourself, putting yourself out there, be mindful not to use too much technical terms. Speak the language that your audience would understand, so that you speak to them, you speak to their issues, and how you will be able to help them, and also using it in different guises in terms of sharing your knowledge, contributing to posts that are of interest to you, and giving guides and nuggets, etc., when it comes to creation of lead magnets that kind of solve your client problem. And also, I think you see this topic, or I see this topic every now and again, is email marketing dead? But you've effectively said no, it's not very much alive and still a really useful tool in reaching out to your clients.
Really is, yes, not to be overlooked at all. We've got a long time before email goes away for us. But I think overall, my most important message, I think, to anybody who's out there beginning, creating a consultancy or growing the one that they've got, is to find a marketing plan that suits you. We have to promote ourselves in some way. There's no way around it. We can't hide away. We've either got to team up with somebody who's really happy to market your kind of collaboration, or we've got to find a way to promote ourselves. But we can't force ourselves to do it in ways that are not natural to us. And so the best advice really is to think about, where do your strengths lie? Do you prefer to write, or do you prefer to speak? Do you have a particular kind of interest that you want to build everything around? If so, what might that be? And then create a plan of any description that gets you out in front of your ideal client as regularly and as often and as consistently as possible. You don't need to be the, you know, the HR guru. You don't have to be somebody who's incredibly confident on video, but what you do have to be is in front of your ideal client as regularly and as often as possible in a way that suits who you are. So it's all about finding that recipe that suits you best.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Anaeve. It's been a pleasure having you talk to us about how to build resilience into your consultancy business through a marketing lens. So thank you very much. And hopefully we'll get you back again soon to talk about one of the other areas of marketing.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of HR Voices. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover or would like to be a guest, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with us on social media or email us at hrvoices@hrindependence.co.uk. Tune in next time.